Hello.
Welcome to Girls Watch World. I'm Sarah.
We are happy to have you here. I'm Chloe.
Chloe, what do we do on Girls Watch World?
We talk about our favorite, one of the finest of the TGIF lineup shows, Boy Meets World.
Boy Meets World. Yeah, we talk about it. We're watching through the whole series, talking about it here, having a little fun along the way. We're just having some fun. How are things going, Chloe?
Well, things are good. We have some big things happening in our newly renamed segment.
Yeah.
If you want to launch that meme right into it.
Those of you who have been with us these many years. We mean like 4 weeks. We started doing a segment where Chloe's going to catch us up on what's going on with some of our favorite actors from the show Boy Meets World, and maybe crew at some point. Maybe the writers. We'll see. We'll see what happens. This is one of her. Yes. She does this anyway, just for fun. So might as well give it an outlet. And we've been struggling to come up with a name for it. And then today, like, out of the blue, it just came to me. As though the idea had just been floating there, ready for me the whole time, just waiting for me to seize it, waiting for the right moment. So we've decided to name this episode The Other Side of the School, which is a reference to a scene that happens in the season finale of season 5.
Yes. And this will be the name of the segment.
Yes. This is the name of the segment where Chloe catches us up on what's going on with our favorite Boy Meets World actors. So without further ado, what's happening on the other side of the school, Chloe?
So on the other side of the school, this past week, we had a post from Ryder Strong, who does have his own podcast called Literary Disco, which I know Sarah listens to.
It is very good. I enjoy it immensely.
And I guess on that show, he had talked about getting cookies with his face on them. And there was a fan who a box of cookies with his face on them to an event. And it is literally pictures of Ryder Strong on cookies. It's just a box of them.
Him wearing hats, a hat.
There's a picture of him wearing a fedora, then there's a picture of him with a wolf.
Yeah, there's a backstory to the fedora picture. So it's kind of a bit from there was. So I listened to Literary Disco, which is Ryder Strong's podcast with Todd Goldberg and Julia Pistel. That's about books. It's really good. I really recommend giving it a listen. They have interesting discussions about books, and it's introduced me to some cool ones. So Todd told a story about getting fished by someone who was pretending to be Julia, one of their co-hosts, and the subject of the email, or the content of this phishing email, was Ryder liked to wear hats in high school, or something like that. Something about Ryder Strong really liking hats. And then a link to pictures of Ryder Strong with hats. This is what this person decided to use as their phishing scam. And it was a whole bit. I don't remember what episode number it was in. And Ryder said that he did wear a lot of hats in high school because he hated the haircut that they made him keep on Boy Meets World.
Yes, on Boy Meets World. Yeah. It's all related.
So he'd wear hats to all the, you know, events like the Kids' Choice Awards and things like that because he didn't like that signature Sean Hunter floppy babe haircut.
Big events like the Kids' Choice Awards, not just any award shows. the Children's Choice Awards.
You are uninvited to my Kids' Choice Award party.
I take it all back. That's our update for today. It's too late. I do have some special stuff.
Okay, go ahead.
It's too late. I have some big stuff lined up for this segment, so keep an ear out because it's gonna get a lot crazier before it gets calmer. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Cookies with Ryder Strong.
Then cookies with Ryder Strong and crazier than Daniel Fishel's sunglasses, everybody. That's right, you heard it here first.
What if there were cookies shaped like Daniel Fishel's sunglasses? Because that seems like something your mom would make.
My head just exploded.
For our listeners,
I just lost all control of my facilities.
I don't know that much about what Chloe's mom does, but I gather that she just makes cookies that are shaped like anything you
things
want.
That you would never expect cookies to be shaped mouse, like, basically.
The lid of a garbage can.
My this is in no way related to Boy Meets World, but yesterday she posted a picture of, in some way it's probably, well, okay, it's, here it is, it's seven. Oh, you know, this would be a good segment if we started doing 7 degrees of separation, but with Boy Meets World. Yes, we should. Well, okay, so here's how it's related. So Boy Meets World was on ABC. ABC's parent company is Disney. My mom made Moana cookies for a party. Mm-hmm. And they're defilm. So there you go. 7 degrees of separation from Boy Meets World.
Only 3 degrees of separation.
That's 3 degrees. It was more related than most of the things that we talk about that are not related to Boy Meets World on
the
show.
I like that so maybe that's a new segment called 7 seasons of separation, because there's 7 seasons of the show.
7 seasons of separation. Exactly.
That just makes it sound like Cory and Topanga, like the sequel show that's about Cory and Topanga breaking up.
Realistically, that would have been a sequel show.
Watch that. Just premise of slow deterioration of their
marriage. I hate to say it, but the Girl Meets World universe where like Cory and Topanga have happily been together for whatever 35 million years. Is just, I just don't buy it. Cory is too much of a nutcase to possibly have made that work. Yeah. But we will dive into that further eventually if we ever get there.
In my personal rewatch of the show, because Chloe and I, in addition to doing our homework for our episodes, we are always constantly watching Boy Meets World on a loop.
Yeah.
I mean, not, yeah, exactly. Me, not really constantly, but now that it's on Hulu, it's feels much like more. It. Yeah. And I just finished watching season 5 and started season 6.
And season 6, yeah. No spoilers, I saw that from our...
yeah, we share a Hulu account. Because
sharing a Hulu account.
That's what good co-hosts do. When you decide you're going to make the commitment, you join Hulu accounts, you share social security numbers.
Yes.
And then...
And also, am I going to get that back soon? Are you going to...
No, your social security... No.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have to pay it. A fee to get it back, and there's some paperwork to go through, so
Said something about wiring some money to an account. I just didn't know when that was going to be like official, so
we've if you just keep making those moneygrams, keep sending those moneygrams
I'll keep doing that.
We discussed, and everything will be fine, you know.
It's a high price to pay for the price of friendship, but I'm happy we're here.
I'm glad you feel that way. This means a lot to me, and I don't know.
It's a good day.
I'm glad to have this hour and 7 minutes with you every week.
Every week,
because we don't every ever week,
without
talk
fail, because we
outside of this,
we've but, never, yeah. never spoken outside of this.
Never, no. I don't even know your real name.
All right. On that note, who? Her?
Isn't that the name we discussed for your character? Or do you want to? It's a little late to retcon.
Yeah,
I mean, even we did. I know we're talking Boy Meets World.
I know.
If you want to go more like Nebula or
Nebula would work.
Jupiter.
Jupiter.
It's like a female Jupiter, a feminine Jupiter.
Jupiter.
Jupitita.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right. Right?
I apologize to our listeners. Do you think anyone's listening anymore?
I think everybody has completely shut down.
Wow, our iTunes subscription numbers are now in the negatives, people.
They have given up on us completely. So this week we're here to talk about the fourth episode of season 1 of Boy Meets World, entitled Cory's Alternative Friends.
Okay.
And
I don't understand that title.
This episode is...
Is it like...
You don't?
I mean, is it supposed to be like his alternative friends? Like his, you know, like alternative rock?
I think it's meant to be his weird friends. Okay. Like his really weird friends.
It's like the PC. The PC way of saying Cory's freak.
His weird friends that he adopts for a week and then doesn't speak to again.
Like an afternoon, like a single day.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking in the context of like a television show. So oh, for like the that week.
Right.
Yeah.
It's there's a lot. This is a very iconic episode. This is a lot of moments, of big moments for Corey.
Yeah.
And for us.
Should we start with the IMDb?
Oh yeah, let me pull that up because I definitely I did have it pulled up. Look at me.
Oh, look at that.
I even took notes for this episode, like pen and paper.
We're living large. Mm-hmm.
I better be getting a raise. That's all I have to say. All right.
Official
IMDb summary for Boy Meets World Season 1, Episode 4, Corey's Alternative Friends, is Sean and Corey get split up from doing a project together, making Sean work with Minkus and Corey with Topanga. Corey overhears girls making fun of his hair and decides to change it. Directed by David Trainer, writers Michael Jacobs and April Kelly, the co-creators of this show. And there's two more credits. Oh, Patricia Forrester is also a credited writer. Good job, Patricia. You finally made it. And then Jeff Mennel is the executive story editor. No one likes you, Jeff. Go away. No, I'm sure he's fine. Sorry. That was mean-spirited. I'd like to take that back. He and I, we're working through some stuff. We're going to be okay, though. Call me Jeff.
That, I think, is a really poor description of the episode, but at the same time, I don't really know how to describe this episode in a couple of sentences like that.
Maybe we talk about the episode, and then at the end, I'm going to make a note to myself so I don't forget. At the end, we'll come back and try to come up with our own summary, and then we'll submit it to IMDb.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds like a good idea.
Oh, it has one review on IMDb. The review is 10 of 10. This is by Callan Voss on 17th of January, 2014. And the review is Introducing Topanga. And that's it. That's the whole review.
That's it.
It's accurate.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's true. It is the first episode with Opengate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that they did have that correct.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
So our
especially when you keep in mind that she was actually never supposed to be on the show.
Yeah, that's a nice fun fact that she auditioned for this role and then didn't get it, but was cast in some like smaller part. And then
I guess they
shot some episodes with the actress they had cast and it just wasn't working right. So Michael Jacobs asked her to read for it again, and then they gave her this role that was supposed to be just a walk-on, kind of like a recurring role for a few episodes, and then she became a series regular by like midway through season one, like pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Good job.
And then she became what we associate most with the show.
Right, like one of the most iconic. I hear a lot of boys in the 90s had crushes on her, which makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I don't know if, I'm going to find out if any boys I know had a crush on her in the 90s.
Yes.
Oh, the answer was yes.
Ooh, did we just get a cameo from Chloe's boyfriend?
Oh, we did.
I don't know if any of that is audible.
It's just you disguising
just
your voice
me?
With a tin can. Yeah, Ryan's not even real.
Yeah, Ryan's not a real human.
You're just slowly losing it.
Losing it completely.
Blink twice if you need help, Brian. It's not going to do you any good because this is audio, but blink. Blink loudly. I will help you.
This is all useful since you're in my headphones and he is not.
Right.
Well, I guess technically, on the assumption that he is in my head, yes, he can hear you. So, yes, as we've just confirmed with our resident boy of the 90s, boys of the 90s did have crushes on Danielle Fishel.
I like having conversations with your boyfriend through your headphones. It's like most of my conversations with boys, just in my head.
Yeah, in my head. So, yeah, she's adorable in this episode. She's very
great,
cute.
Yeah. So this
her hair is all crimped. It must have taken hours.
I loved her outfit. Her like lacy
Yeah.
No, it just totally worked. It fit her character. It seemed like a thing that Topanga, if she were a real person, would have worn. And I liked it. It's memorable, yeah. It's iconic.
Just the dress with the lace and the the choker. She already was ahead of the thing. She's got the baby bangs.
Yes.
It's a good look.
So this episode opens with, I think it's supposed to be science class, right?
Like it's like science period.
Oh wait, I'm seeing another writing credit. I think Al Gore wrote the opening.
Al Gore wrote this opening?
It was the workshop, the working draft of An Inconvenient Truth. He was trying to work.
He should have kept on this path.
Yeah.
He should have just written all of Boy Meets World.
It's good to have for him to have some hobbies.
Yeah. It's a very well executed project. They put a fake fish into what I imagine is supposed to be a vat of acid.
I guess.
Supposed to be like the ocean in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then it turns into a skeleton. Like, that's pretty impressive. Open with that.
Those girls look like they walked off the set of Clueless. Right?
Yeah, like Clueless Junior.
I was like, who are these? They look a lot older than Corey and Sean and Topanga.
I'm pretty sure that they are reoccurring guest characters.
I think they're around a little bit in season one. We'll have to find out.
Yeah.
They don't have names.
We'll find out, but no, I don't think so. I mean, I could probably investigate to see if they had names, but I don't remember them having. They must, because they actually have speaking parts. So
Paige and Barbara. It looks like
Paige and Barbara. The real question is who?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man.
Could be anyone. So we start with this class project. There's this brief introduction of this kid. Well, also we do have to talk about Sean's shirt because is covered in multicolored dinosaurs.
That looks like an overgrown baby, like something from an overgrown baby Gap, right?
Yes. Like yes. Baby Gap for children.
Baby Gap for preteens.
Preteens, yeah.
Like the
it's really bad. Also, Feeny has put up this reduce, reuse, recycle sign just to really drive the point home.
Just in case we forgot what we were talking about.
I do want to know who Mr. Sullivan is, because there's the implication that Mr. Sullivan is worse than Sean Hunter.
Oh, I missed that. Is that a reference to
There's this like, when Feeny is like, oh, we're going to do this again.
Oh,
not letting you guys pick your partners. And he partners Sean with Minkus. Mm-hmm. And then Corey is like, oh, I'll partner off with Mr. Sullivan. And Feeny says, oh, no, that would be worse. And I want to know what this Sullivan kid did.
Maybe he's like, doing time.
Who did he kill?
Yeah.
Maybe. He's also the only kid in the class aside from Corey that actually looks like he's 11 years old.
Maybe he killed Corey and Sean's ex best friends, Ellis and Kyle, Gilmore Girls.
Maybe
Kyle.
He's responsible for all the deaths of the missing characters.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Sullivan.
Mr. Sullivan. He's a demon. He's a scary looking kid. He's the only kid who has sleeves on his shirt too. He's wearing a flannel that has full sleeves. Like, what year is this?
Yeah, 2001? He's not even wearing a vest that looks like a parachute that like Corey in this episode.
His parents must also be serial killers.
All I could see besides Sean's dinosaur patterned bedspread that he was wearing.
All I could see
was Corey's parachute. Like, it looked like he just taken a parachute to a tailor.
Yeah.
And the tailor had too much to drink, turned off all the lights, and done his best to turn it into something that one could wear. It's like bright blue. It's like there's a lot of bad vests in this season, but
Zoomed in on the picture, and it looks like you know those mats that they sell for kids with roadways all over them? It looks like a like street.
Oh, maps. I definitely heard the word masks, like that one would put on one's face if one needed to disguise oneself at a dinner party.
Yeah,
And I was trying to envision what a mask with roadways on. I thought maybe I was depriving my son of something he needed in his childhood.
No, they sell those mats that you can like take toy cars on stuff.
Yeah, it's, so, I think it's just like called a carpet, like a map carpet.
Oh yeah, like a map carpet.
It's not
yeah,
called a map carpet.
Way to describe it. So it looks like the streets on those things, but on fabric.
Okay, you're right. Sorry. Yeah, it definitely does. I just can't.
And then Mrs. Matthews put a hood on the shirt. I'm distraught.
How many times have I been wearing a muscle shirt and been like, you know what? My ears are cold. We should move on.
With like a short sleeve shirt underneath. Why didn't she just make it like, or why? Or I don't know why I'm blaming her. She probably didn't. But she probably bought them, which is also distressing, is that there was a store that at some point in time was selling this. Unless the costume department just has a really thick sense of humor. They're like, yeah, this is what all the 11-year-olds in the U.S. are wearing. It's these map shirts, but with the sleeves cut off. Anyway, there's the map introduction shirts, of Topanga, like, who wants to feel for Corey's aura. And I mean, you know, what girl hasn't been there?
Yeah, we've all been there. And it's, you know, it's great that she just had the courage to just say it. Because there can be a lot of beating around
the
bush. She
said what we've all been thinking.
Right. I love that her first line of the whole series is, give me your hand, which is very foreshadowing, I think.
Yes,
spoilers, very. But she might be back. And then
she may be back, possible.
We never hear from her again. Well, okay, so this version of Topanga that we're going to see in this episode, she's introduced, like, kind of the point of her in this episode is to be weird.
A weird,
you know,
girl.
A weird girl who makes Corey look at things differently.
Yeah. But I think the thing that's interesting about the way, appearance-wise, the way she looks, mm-hmm. is I think she's still intended to sort of look conventional.
Oh, yeah.
If that makes
sense.
Like, in comparison to the other kids sitting at the table.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they tried their best with the hair crimping, but like,
it also was 1993 and hair, like, I remember right. crimping my hair. I remember crimping my hair well up into, you know what? Just because I'm a little older than you doesn't mean you have to rub it in.
I definitely never had a hair crimper.
I remember having, I don't think it was a legit, like, from a salon hair crimper, but it was one of those things that would come in, like, you would get a kit of beads.
Did salons have hair crimpers?
I don't know that. I feel like yes, but you could also just make really tight braids and sleep in them, and then your hair would look crimped. Like,
no, that's just curls, isn't it?
No, that's, I mean, it's just waves, but also I remember crimp, like, I remember having, like, a crimper that came with this kit.
Yeah, I thought a crimper was the heat thing, and you were, you know, applying the heat.
I thought it was really cool, up until, like, probably 99, and if it were...
Yeah, that sounds like a good time.
Yeah, and so I don't even know if that was, like, oh, she's so weird for crimping her hair. I think it just kind of added to the whole package, you know. Doesn't care. I guess I don't know. I guess it maybe have been a little passe by 93. I guess, is it more of an 80s thing, hair crimping? I don't know.
It's possible. I mean, I was barely a kid of the 90s, so it's
so
I can't.
How's potty
like
training
a fake
going?
90s kid. It's going all right.
Yeah, cool.
Like I said, a few weeks ago, I was able to lift my head on my own first time. I've now figured out that those things at the bottom of my leg are intended for me to walk on, so that's
wow.
I can also put them in my mouth if I try hard enough, so this
is, that
is
on
all
your,
I know
is
of, like,
that on your Tinder profile,
baby culture on can
into
put feet
baby
in mouth.
Culture can put feet in mouth graduated to solids.
I feel like Jenna Maroney. This is my angle. Do we want to start with what's problematic in this episode, or just talk about the episode?
Let's talk about the episode, and then we'll go into Now We Got Problems.
Yeah.
So
there's some
Feeny. Okay, I have a question. I am scared to search this on Tumblr because once I searched for, I really like the 1970s Happy Days, starring Ron Howard and Henry Winkler. And I once searched on Tumblr for Richie Cunningham because he may have been an early childhood crush, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay admitting that. And I found exclusively Richie Cunningham and Fonzie slash fiction.
Oh no!
So I'm scared to search this on the internet. But do you think there's anyone out there who ships Stuart Minkus and Sean Hunter? Because I was sensing will they, won't they in this episode.
Oh yeah, it's out there. You know, and because I care so much, I'm gonna search for it this week, and I'll report
back.
Thank you.
See you next week for Chloe's findings. Thanks for taking one for the team. Because I don't know if my brain could handle more.
I was a little nervous where that story was going. Because at first you said Feeny.
I'm sorry.
Who are we trying to ship Feeny with?
No.
There's nobody on this episode that's older than the age of 11.
Speaking of creepy Feeny, there's a line where he talks about Corey singing to his sister's Barney records.
Yeah.
Which,
why is he
one,
listening for that?
Number one, records. I was a big Barney fan.
He doesn't know what a CD is.
You're young. Yeah, 93, a CD wouldn't have been a thing that he would have probably had access to. Like, you know, a typical kid. Like, they were around, but I feel like a tape would be more.
Hello.
Hi, Quint. Hi, Chloe's dog. That's not Chloe's dog. That was Chloe's boyfriend, Ryan.
Same, one and the same.
We're getting also just in her head.
Just in my head. The dog and the man.
So first of all, I was big into the Barney fandom. I'm not ashamed to admit that either. My fourth birthday was Barney themed. It was a thing. And it was pretty cool. I had a lot of friends. A lot of people came. It definitely wasn't just three people. Anyway, so I would have had Barney tapes, like a tape you put in the tape deck. I don't know if there were Barney records. But anyway, is Feeny spying on Corey? Like, is he looking into his bedroom window?
I'm going to say no, because I don't even want to entertain the idea.
Like, not in a, just in a, like, I don't know. It's just like, how would he, is he just taking a wild guess that he's singing to his sister's Barney records? Or did
I think he just had
see?
Happened.
Yeah.
I think he heard it once and that was it. You know, he just was like saving it for the right moment,
right?
Which I appreciate.
Yeah, it's respect. I mean, when you go up against 12-year-olds, you got to have some weapons.
Yeah, exactly. This episode is great because, well, yeah, I think this episode is pretty, like a pretty, I don't know, like what the right word is to describe it, but I think it's the one of these episodes that everybody like has in the back of their mind as like iconic Boy Meets World episodes. There's this like that things, shot.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, shot of like Corey like locked to the locker and or handcuffed to the locker and the hair sticking up and the hat. I think it's just like one of those classic episodes.
Yeah. So Corey, I think a lot of these sitcoms, these coming of age sitcoms, have these episodes about wanting to fit in and like accepting yourself and understanding that everyone has, you know, their insecurities and also has something to offer.
Yeah.
But I think this episode, I think they do a good job of not making it a, you know, an after school special feel. Like it has a message, but it's done very well and it's very fun. So Corey overhears someone calling what he assumes they're calling him Brillo Head, which is the first time Corey's like tight curly hair is referenced. And this always has puzzled me because I think that his Brillo head is super cute and I like it a lot. I like Corey's curly hair and it's unfathomable to me that anyone would not. So that made my heart hurt a lot.
Yeah. It's so precious and kind.
Yeah, it makes you
like gentle.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. There's just something so trustworthy about that haircut.
That's what every man wants to hear. Your haircut is very
The thing that I love so much about this introduction is that Topanga really is like the voice of reason.
She's so great. Like they could have just made her a punchline. And she is. Yeah. Like she gets her and, they get yeah. some jabs in at her, but she,
they minkus her. They minkus her a they little do. Bit. Yeah.
But she has the like I don't know, she's so wise and
She knows
she's what's going on.
She's an intelligent woman. She proved to the world that 11-year-old women are more mature, or 11-year-old girls are more mature than like 15 or 16-year-old boys. Yes. That's all I'm saying.
So we get this iconic about that. Moment where Topanga reads this poem and draws lipstick on her face. I'm just gonna play that real quick because we can. If you'd like to do the interpretive dance at home, you're welcome to join me. And yeah. I know you've all memorized the choreography. Maybe I will. This is when I wish we recorded in person because we could film ourselves doing our own.
Doing it.
Yeah, it could be a meme.
I'll do it with a green screen and then we can just overlay it to wherever you do it.
No one laughs at conventional. No one laughs at conventional.
Read this poem out loud. Poem? Please, not a poem.
Also my reaction to poetry, by the way.
Not a poem.
Son. The only. The one.
Daniel Fishel is so committed, too.
She really is. The music is so good.
Space. Big gaping place. Without, within our skin. Donut in the sky.
Props to Corey for reading it and not throwing it on the ground.
I would have lost it.
So pale.
Exhaust.
Is all lost?
More than one take. Donut I mean, I'm sure they did, but like, if there were ever, I would have, yeah, not been able to hold them together.
I just can't imagine being a kid and having to read that. I can't imagine having to read that without like with a straight face the whole time. I would have lost it.
There is a moment later on in the episode when Sean says he comes in right after that and says use a mirror babe, which I think is like one of those sound bites people pull out.
Yeah.
And Ryder has this smile that just looks like he's just about to lose it. Like, he looks so – he gets a laugh from the studio audience, obviously, because they'll laugh at anything. Basic. Am I right?
Anything.
I'm sorry. I'm very, very mean-spirited to that
studio amateurs.
Make them work for it. But anyway, he has this little smile that's just very cute and very, like – he just looks really proud of himself for his delivery. And he should be. It was a good delivery.
Yeah, it's really great. Morgan is like a shining star in this episode.
So
this whole bit at the beginning of the episode with the doll in the toaster oven is just so funny.
Yeah.
Morgan, that would be a mistake.
There we go. I got
this. Mommy.
Mommy, that would be a mistake.
Mommy,
what?
I made a mistake.
I'm going to have that sound bite locked and loaded anytime I do something dumb and just play it.
And then Corey's like, I just thought we were having plastic for dinner in true sitcom fashion.
It
was Mom messed up a meal again.
Sitcom joke with the pulling out of the flat doll. And there's also a little subtle message tie-in with Morgan saying that she doesn't care what the doll looks like because she still loves her. And then she discards it.
She just throws it across the room.
A little undercutting of the message, which I think is in theme with the show. Like subverting of its own messages sometimes.
She's a sassy girl.
She is.
Was also smart enough to know to take the clothes off the doll, which shows that she's wise beyond her years.
Maybe she just felt like her doll was being oppressed by the patriarchy and just needed to be broken free.
Do you think it's weird that in this like kitchen scene when Amy comes in and she's talking to Corey about the doll, like she doesn't talk to Topanga at all?
Yeah.
Because the whole story that we get of the relationship between Corey and Topanga is that they've known each other since they were two. And like there's this whole bit later where they're like, like our moms used to walk our strollers down the street together. And then
they would,
we would hold hands.
Not
in the strollers, and
it's very clear that that's not on the writers' minds at all. Like, that's something that was worked in later. And it doesn't, this episode doesn't contradict that necessarily.
No.
But it does not seem like they've, it seems like she's just some girl from school that maybe he's talked to in passing once, you know.
Or maybe Amy is so having Topanga at the house that she's like, oh, I don't even have to talk to this kid because it's like, it's Topanga.
Maybe Topanga is a ghost.
Maybe Topanga hasn't been real this entire time. Topanga... And this entire show is Corey's imagination.
It's just his, like, psychosis. Ooh, that's a nice reading.
Yeah, it's like those weird Rugrat alternative theory things.
It would explain why, it would explain why she starts becoming, like, whatever Corey thinks of as the ideal woman as the show goes on. Yeah. You know, like, she drops her hippie exterior and stuff like that.
Which is really sad. How do you feel about that part?
That's something, I don't know. I think we should kind of maybe save that for when she starts, because there's a good season break. It's, like, between seasons 2 and 3, I feel like, that it really, maybe between 1 and 2, but, I have mixed feelings about that. My note on that is that, so Topanga calls her parents by their first names. And Jedediah.
And so on that note, I'd like to add that, yes, I am indeed Topanga's mother.
Okay. Just thank you for
clarifying. I know there was a lot of confusion. Jedediah and Chloe.
So it was like a time travel situation, like, or because time is a flat circle.
The show is actually a figment of my imagination.
Ooh, it's like a Boy Meets Worldception. Oh, I can do a better pun than that.
Boy Meets Worldception.
Sorry. I feel like I'm letting everyone down.
It's okay. It's all right. You'll get there.
Everyone's used to it by now.
I just love this, the line of, like, well, if it's important to you, then it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the whole episode is about.
But has Topanga never heard anyone call their parents mom and dad? Because she acts like that idea is just wild.
I just don't know if she actually goes to anybody's houses.
Yeah, I mean, it really does seem like she's just an alien who has just arrived on this planet.
Yeah,
I get that. I think that's what they're going for.
I think she's happy doing her own thing, and then she has some friends at school, and then that's it. So I just think that,
I love also this, the team of alternative, quote unquote, alternative friends, like the weird kids table, and how just united they are. And they're really well adjusted and fine with who they are. And I think that's a great, like, thing to see in this type of show. Because a lot of the times you see, like, I mean, you see Corey, who's kind of an in-between kid, right? Like, he has Sean, who's supposedly one of the cooler kids.
Yeah.
And then he's sort of the
difference,
in-between.
I think,
he floats.
With this show compared to other sitcoms, is that Corey is actually kind of, like, in association with the cool kids,
but not one.
And I think on most sitcoms there's like a pretty big disparity between the main characters and the crowd.
And I like that I like that they really show that feeling of camaraderie that the weird kids can have. As someone who was usually in a group of the quote-unquote weird kids, like, that's where I fit in school. And then you and I actually met, Chloe and I actually met through the Harry Potter fandom, and I think that's a similar type of feeling of, like, you found your people and you can be fully yourself with these people because either you have a common interest or you have the common denominator of, like, we're the weird ones who don't fit in with the rest of these 12-year-olds, but they're totally welcoming. They're like, oh yeah, you can sit here whenever. There's always, like, Stuart Minkus, I think, says there's always a chair for you here. Or maybe it's not Minkus, maybe it's Cape Kid. Speaking of, that's great because we all know a Cape Kid, right? Like, that's a real thing.
Was that the Cape Kid? Yeah, there's like always one of them.
At
least one, if not two or three.
The college campus, I think we have probably some listeners who went to this school, but the college campus that I lived on, I didn't go to this school, but I lived near the campus for four years. There was this group.
All of the years.
for all these 37 years. I'm only 28. All right. So there was this group of students who wore capes and just, like, wore capes every day, like college students, not young people. And
not children.
It wasn't just like they were people who wore capes and graduated. It was like the capes would be passed down to like incoming freshmen, yeah. I believe, if I remember correctly. I thought of them when I thought of Cape Kid in this show, and his iconic line where he says, "What cape?" at the end.
Should we talk about what leads Corey to sit with these weird
Let's
kids?
Do it. This really upset me.
So he decides to chemically straighten his hair with the assistance of Sean, who I don't think is a licensed beautician.
Not yet.
And the assistance of Sean's sister. Stacey. What's her name? Heather?
Stacy.
Stace. He calls her Stace. Yeah. Stacy. Who I also don't think is a beautician.
No. I don't even think she's real. I think she's also a figment of... Maybe she's a figment of Sean's imagination.
Yeah.
And he's just making it, like, on the phone. He's just improvising the whole thing. So a little fun fact. So a lot of those of us who know and love the show know that this sister isn't, I don't think she's brought up again, or if she is, it's maybe one more time. She doesn't appear, right?
No, she never appears. And I don't think she's mentioned again.
I think this is it. And it's because I guess, we were looking at, it's actually on YouTube. Maybe we'll put it in the show notes, like a behind the scenes that was on some DVD of the series. And Ryder talks about how this part was originally written. They were always rehearsing, like adding in a third kid to this Sean and Corey's gang. So we talked about that, like the rotating friends with Ellis and I'm just going to call him Kyle, Chauncey Lapardi. And but none of them ever stuck. So these lines were written for that phantom third friend, and in this episode they decided to just cut him and let Ryder say all those lines. So that's how Sean gets this sister. They never thought about the fact that they would have to
answer
have continuity
to that.
You know.
it would have been awesome.
So that's a fun fact.
So Stacy Hunter is never seen or heard from ever again.
Do you think Sullivan
after this
her?
Moment Oh, I'm fully convinced. And I'm convinced that we went after Nebula.
Oh, I can't wait to get to Nebula.
Yeah, we got some time before Nebula. I'm ready for that. Ready for that life. So that's how Corey ends up in this situation, is they decide to chemically straighten his hair because he's embarrassed that it's curly.
So embarrassing.
And so embarrassing. And when he shows up at school, he's got this straight hair, which makes him look like a dope. And
he looks like a beetle. He looks like a beetle. Like the fifth beetle.
He does look like a beetle. Exactly. Does look
what
like
they
a
were
beetle.
Only for.
So yeah, it's a good combination of things that lead him to sit with these supposedly weird kids. And he hears all about this librarian who's being forced to retire because of blatant ageism.
Topanga's so woke.
She's so woke. The most woke of the show, because it's a really small...
woke Panga, am I right?
It's... Yep. Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yeah. True.
I'm getting fired. Are you going to force me into podcast retirement after that joke?
It's a pretty low bar for, like... what characters have to do to be woke on this show. You know, Topanga crosses off, like, she knocks a couple things off the list. She cares about the environment, cares about, like, ageism and in the hiring of people at John Adams.
Speaking of woke, you know, we get a little feminist Amy Matthews in this
we
episode.
Do
I love feminist Amy Matthews is my favorite Amy Matthews, I think.
Yeah, she doesn't, you know, she offers Morgan a dog that doesn't need Ken to pay her bills.
Yeah, because Morgan is upset that she's not wearing a pretty dress. She's wearing a business suit.
Yeah.
And
which,
Amy
at
is
at
the
very same
much
time,
like...
you can wear a pretty dress and not have Ken pay your bills, ladies. That's all I have to say about
wait,
that.
Wait, hang on. Stop everything. I can wear a pretty dress.
You can wear a pretty dress.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
And if there's a Ken in your life, you can tell him to stop paying those bills.
I'm just going to move on from
that. Like the Ken doll of your life?
Yeah. Okay, so I got it.
I'm going to tell my Ken doll right now. There's no Ken doll. I don't have a Ken doll.
Is it PC to call your boyfriend your Ken doll? Can we do that?
I don't know.
Is that what
I was thinking?
Would woke Penga approve
of our Ken dolls as the inherent patriarchy that's been systematically placed in the back of our
Ken
minds?
Ken dolls are within us, is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
That's what I was getting at all along. It's the lessons we learned along the way, buddy.
Yeah. So that same scene where Corey's chemically straightened his hair and everyone's freaking out about it, and then we get feminist Amy with the doll, there's a weird blocking moment where everyone's in Corey's room. Like, the whole family is in there. Just, like, I think they invited, like, the neighbors from across the street.
Yeah.
There's weird, like, everyone, they're kind of side by side in a line, and... like, all on one side of the set, and core, I don't know. It just struck me as weird in a way that, like, I don't normally notice the blocking choices on the show, which is how it should be, right? Like, but this just, like everyone,
the architect.
Sure. Eric and Amy have their arms crossed in this weird way, and then Alan has his, like, hot dad hands in his pocket, and they all look like they just were uncomfortable and, like, they've never been around each other or seen each other before, which is not the dynamic that we get from them ever. Like, they normally read very well, very much like a family. They have a good chemistry. But in that scene, something about having everyone in Corey's bedroom just, I was really not comfortable with it. It was awkward.
Yeah, it was really awkward. There's this other great line with Topanga just being accepting, where she's just like, your hair is different. Why would I laugh? And I just...
oh, I love it. It's God, so fun.
It's just, you know, Topanga's the hero that we need, but definitely not the hero that we deserve in the show.
Definitely not.
But yeah, it's...
like,
it's,
she could do so much better than Corey, is the thing.
Oh, yeah, she could.
And I'm saying
she
this
really
as
could,
a
but...
as a former 11-year-old who had a major crush on Corey Matthews. One day I'll go through an episode without mentioning that, but that day is not today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Not today. And it's the episode of their first kiss. Like, that's everything right there.
Yeah.
That's
it.
That's all, you know, that's all it is. It's a really, this episode is great. Teaches good lessons. We're fighting the power. It's an important episode.
We do have some, there are a few problematic things.
Yes.
Episode. So let's launch into our segment.
Now we got problems.
Do you want to start with what is problematic in this episode for you?
I think there's a list, so I'm gonna start with the first one from the episode that comes to mind, which is when I don't remember exactly what Corey says to Sean, but he's like,
"What do you think of my hair?"
My hair. Yeah, he's like, "What do you think of my hair?" It's like, guys don't ask guys that question. And I was just like, why? Why can't guys ask that question, buddy?
Yeah, what's wrong with the couple of bros bonding over hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very toxic masculinity of Sean.
Yeah, toxic masculinity.
Strikes again.
Who really is yeah. And you know,
Ken
the problem
are
is that Sean Hunter already has so many things working against him that adding toxic masculinity to the list is just not something that they had to do.
They did need to go there.
He's got missing siblings. All of his parents are dead. Like, all of them, because he's got, like...
He's a future plumber, according to Minkus in the last episode.
According to Minkus?
Which also, I didn't make it into our problematic list last episode, but
yeah,
I thought about it later. Yeah.
Classes stuff, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely
it's pretty rough. Yeah. That's really what comes to mind initially for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess this is, I like would almost call this a feedism, because Topanga is like not a she isn't sure yet.
Right.
But there's that line where Corey's like, you're going to be one of those girls that doesn't shave her legs, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm not caught that, but you know what? Yeah. It's fine not to show your legs.
Yeah. And she's like, I haven't decided yet. And I mean, she's a little embarrassed, but not like, so I think if she made a decision about that, she would have been very open to address it.
Yeah. I think I liked that they let her and then, of course, come back with it though. Like, say I haven't decided yet. No, very like, oh yeah, that's my choice to make. And it reminds you that she's still as wise as she is. She's still 12 and like making these choices.
She's still a child.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I agree that that was definitely problematic, but I like that I think they kind of do a pretty good job of having Topanga like almost call Corey out on stuff like that, especially as things go on. So it's like, it's problematic with maybe an asterisk on it, which doesn't make it okay, but
problematic with recovery.
Yeah.
Probably the way to put it.
My other thing for problematic is, okay, so there's one little thing and then one big thing, and I'll let you decide which one is more offensive to me.
Okay.
So I just wrote down tofu.
Oh, I love this game.
I wrote down tofu with an exclamation point because I am a big fan of tofu. I love it. And one of the things as a person who does not eat meat or animal products, one of the things that I've gotten made fun of a lot, like from, I was vegetarian in high school and late middle school, was the like, oh, tofu, that's disgusting. Like that joke of like, you're weird because you eat weird food. And there's a line in when Corey's having lunch with the alternative kids, which just makes them sound like punk rockers or something. With the
it really does.
I would love to see Minkus as a punk. So when Minkus offers him tofu, and very politely, like Minkus is eating tofu, and the implication is that like the weird kids eat tofu and it's a weird food. And I'm not gonna lie, I was a little hurt. I cried a little. I wrote some angry letters to Michael Jacobs, and you know, for restraining orders, it's fine. We're moving on. So that's thing number one. Number two is the non-consensual kiss against the lockers, and I'll let you decide which one is more offensive to me.
I think the tofu.
Okay. Don't. Yeah.
Am I wrong?
I mean. For the record, no. If you want to know what's in my heart, yes. But yeah, I guess it's
what's
so
important is that you want to be offended.
Now, if there was non-consensual feeding of meat to Minkus or Topanga, then that would be, oh my gosh, I wish I had not said that sentence. So I'm just going to move on.
Yeah, I'm going to let that be.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah. So Topanga says something about, like, Corey realizes that she's probably going to kiss him, and kind of says, basically, don't do it, like, explicitly, and is visibly uncomfortable. And, like, yes, it's a nervous, I'm an 11-year-old boy, uncomfortable, and she gives him barely a peck on the lips, and it's, but it's still a little, like, it's a girl doing this to a boy, so the power dynamics are very different, and they're both handcuffed to a locker and to each other, so... Who has any power, really? But I don't know. I just thought it's worth mentioning that, like, that's their first kiss. And Corey's kind of freaked out.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think if anything, it deserves... Rules of consent were not taught strongly enough to children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think... Again, like, I don't want to be that person who's like, everything's problematic and, like, we have to find fault in everything because it is a TV show and whatever. But it's definitely worth having
that
conversation.
I think it's important to just, I think it's important to have a conversation about it. I think the role first in later.
Yes.
Pretty significantly.
Yeah.
So
I've been watching
that's sort of what's
my son. And for the most part, it's the first time I watch it. I usually watch it with him, and then I watch it again for my extensive note taking because I'm a professional. It kind of gives you good opportunities to bring those things up, like, oh yeah, but you should never kiss someone unless they say it's okay. So it's been
they've asked you.
Yeah, so it's kind of good to.
It's important to always ask before you kiss someone first time.
Right. But it's brought up a lot of even like little things like some of these homophobic or borderline like transphobic comments that give you and like give me an opportunity to talk about like why would they say that and like is that okay and stuff like that. So it's kind of been a cool way to revisit those things that those ideas and the Ken dolls within us that we grew up with.
The Ken dolls within us.
And be able to kind of piece those out and like use it as a hopefully not weird teaching opportunity for my son, because I just wanted him to have like fun associations with it, and he does. He's really all in. He started talking a lot more.
I think he's at an age where
he started watching it though, which is disturbing. But yeah, he's at a good age for starting to talk about some of these things in an age appropriate way, and the show gives a nice entryway into that.
Yeah, a natural conversation starter. Because you can't
only
just
handcuff yourself to someone if they say it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure before you start or other people to lockers, you have decided you've landed on a safe word. That's really important. Can't just handcuff people anywhere you want all the time. Sometimes, maybe, but not all the time.
Only if the handcuffs are fuzzy.
Only if it's fuzzy handcuffs.
They're pink, sparkly, and fuzzy.
And they have the word "yes" with you,
so
on them.
Bedazzle any handcuffs you might come across.
I try and keep that in mind wherever I go in my many travels.
Do we have any Feeneyisms for this episode?
Feeneyisms, not so much. Yeah, there's not.
Topanga has some good lines, and I mean.
Yeah, it's a lot of good Topanga lines, and a lot of good. It's a lot of good Topanga lines, and a lot of good Morgan and.
Yeah.
I think a good
in there too.
Yeah, Topanga's like when people laugh at you, they're only depleting their karmic reservoir.
Did she say karmic or comedic reservoir?
I think it's karmic.
I definitely heard comedic, and yeah, you're right. It's karmic. That makes way more sense. I was like, wait.
Oh, but comedic reservoir is funny though.
It is, but I'm looking at the IMDb quote.
And
it is transcribed karmic. As karmic reservoir, but I heard comedic, which I think also works. And the idea that like the more you laugh at someone, the less funny you become.
Like there's layers there. We should probably ask them to share a picture of that script page so that we can actually confirm what was said.
It sounded to me like comedic, but it makes more sense when the character is karmic.
I always assume because of the nature of Topanga as a character.
Yeah, I love that.
That's
good. I think my favorite Feeneyism that's not. I think my favorite Feeneyism is Strange is in the Eye of the Beholder, Mr. Matthews. I, for example, have a young neighbor who sings along with his little sister's Barney records. That's going to be my Feeneyism, even though I doubt whether it's an actual record or a tape.
Yeah. Well, there's some debate about that.
It could be Feeney's age. He listens to things on records. So he assumes that Corey's listening to a record, even though it's a tape.
Yeah, that's true too. Should we grade this episode?
Yeah, let's grade the episode.
All right, I'll let you take it away.
I'm going to give this episode, again, in the words of Mr. Feeney.
Looks like an A.
Yes, an A. A solid A. No minus this time. I really liked this.
Okay. I am going to give it an A minus again. That's where I'm at. I think there's still some stuff to be desired in the episode, and it's it actually gives Corey as a character some body. Most of the time he's a pretty weak character.
Gives him
some balls in the interest of the set.
It gives him one of his first like internal problems to work through. Something that's not directly like I need to get this object or I need to do this thing. It gives him like I had to work through some stuff inside of me.
Yeah, exactly. I had to make decisions about who I am as a person.
All right, so what, how would we summarize this? If we go back to, we've talked about it, we've had our fun, we've learned that we're vibrationally acceptable.
That's good.
Know what I mean.
I was worried.
And
if you know what I'm saying.
So how would you, how are we going to summarize this for the good people of the Internet Movie Database?
Corey, through a mishap with his hair, finds himself, needing the support of some unexpected friends.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I think that's nice. I might say...
Or like Corey, like, Corey finds attempts... support when yeah. he least expects it.
There you go. Classic. I might say Corey attempts to change his appearance to disastrous results and finds unlikely friendships with the school's outcasts.
Ooh, I like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I need some tweaking, but so maybe we'll...
I think maybe once this episode is live, we will put up a poll for which one should be submitted to IMDb.
Maybe we can come up with a nice little hybrid of both.
A hybrid of both?
A little love.
We can add that to the poll.
Can we also add at the end, Morgan toasts her doll?
Morgan learns the value of a dollar.
Morgan learns how to use a toaster oven.
Yeah, Morgan is far more advanced as a child cook than I ever was.
Yeah, kids in the 90s. Kids in the 90s knew how to take care of ourselves. I know you're just a little toddler, but you'll get there. Don't worry.
Just one day. Again, still learning what Mephites is, but
so you want to give us a little? Want to give us an update on how old everyone is in this episode? Do we have any markers?
There's no markers in this episode. So we're still in the same place. Eric is in 10th grade. Corey and Sean are in 11th grade or in 6th grade and they're 11.
I thought they were 12. They're not 12 yet.
I don't think they're 12 yet. It's the boxing gloves episode is the 12th birthday.
Okay, yeah, I think you're correct.
I remember.
Speaking of memories, it's time for our favorite new segment.
You got fiend.
Best new segment.
So you got fiend. You Got Fiend is a trivia segment where we try to stump each other with Boy Meets World trivia. And this week, Chloe, are you going to fiend me?
I sure am. We're jumping a little bit ahead.
Enthusiastic consent to be fiend.
Okay.
You don't even have to handcuff me to the locker first.
Ooh, hello. Famous last words. I know we've had a lot of discussion about how hot a dad.
Oh, so hot.
Only for his hotness to be.
Can you repeat that? Because you cut out for a good 3 seconds in the middle of that sentence.
Yes. So we've acknowledged that Alan Matthews is a hot dad.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That information is only made more apparent when we discover that he was in a band. As a young man. Now, Sarah, my fiend question for you this week is, what was the name of Matthew's band?
No, I don't think I know this. The Roaches. No, that's not my final answer. I feel like it has... Oh, man. The Hot Dads.
The
Dennis Quaid's.
How did you know that the Dennis Quaid's was the correct answer?
The Uncle Jesse's. Fonz and the Relly's. Schneider and the Pussycats.
Yes.
man, the ladybugs, the ladybug Johnsons.
Are you admitting defeat?
The smoking devils. Yeah, I'm admitting defeat, but I'm having fun coming up with alternative fan names. So if you could just give me a few minutes, I got the whiteboard out.
Alan and the Feenies.
Wait, Alan and the Feenies? Is that the real name?
The Alan Matthews Feeney or George Feeney collaboration project.
Matthews Feeney Unlimited.
The band was entitled The Tongues.
Oh, yes.
Which
I don't know,
that's a deep cut.
Yeah, I'm a little less attracted to him though. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, it's good. I needed that. It's like getting slapped in the face.
You really cut to the core of me when I could. George Hamilton Feeney.
I know
that. I really had to. Yeah, right, I really had to get in there. So, Sarah?
You got feed.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I did. I got so fiend.
The most fiend I have ever been.
It hurts. Yeah. I'm not going to be able to be fiend for a week now. Okay. Ugh. All right. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
I think we've done about all the thinking day today.
Yeah, we're all wrapped up. So yeah, let us know what you think about this episode, Aquarius Alternative Friends. Yeah. What grade you would give it, and if you have your own summary that you would like to submit, you can submit it to us at girlswatchworld@gmail.com or reply to us on Twitter @girlswatchworld, and we will maybe come up with a nice, like, collaborative. This is just a collaborative effort here. Like, this isn't about us. Yeah. This is about our community.
It's not winners or losers.
We need to come up with a catchy name for our listeners. Or is that dumb?
Yeah.
Or is this whole thing just dumb? Should we just walk away?
Maybe we're all a little. Maybe.
The Ken dolls.
Maybe we're all just the Ken dolls
of
our mind.
Morgan and the Ken dolls. Can that be our band name?
Morgan and the Toaster. I don't see why not.
We'll come up with something.
Tragic.
So if you have a summary for us, like a good 2 to 3 sentences, how you would summarize this episode or any of the previous episodes we've covered on the show, send them to us. We're going to take over IMDb.
Yeah, we are.
Not legally, like I don't have that kind of money, but
we don't have Amazon, can't do that.
Yeah, we don't have that kind of podcasting cash yet, unless you would like to sponsor us.
Yeah, and who doesn't? In which case, please do. We'd be happy to have you here.
Chloe, where can people find you?
I can be found on Twitter at HeyFeeny, with 3 E's, and that's just about it. I'm gonna keep saying that until I've actually done anything about
until you've done anything.
Sarah knows,
life.
But yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And Sarah, where can you?
You can find me on Twitter at Sarah Keeler B, and also on Instagram at Sarah Keeler B. And sometimes I write in a blog that I haven't written in a while, but SarahKeelerWrites.tumblr.com. And you can find the show at girlswatchworld.com and also on Twitter at girlswatchworld, and maybe someday a Tumblr, girlswatchworld.tumblr.com.
Ever make it there.
Yeah, you can check it every now and then just to see if I've actually bothered, or if you want to make it for us and like run it for me.
Oh yeah, if anybody wants to run that for us
for free,
and purely out of the goodness of your heart, we will accept that.
Yeah,
we will
accept it, and we will love you a lot for it
forever.
Or maybe we might resent you, depends on what you put on there.
Oh, true. Bad. Yeah,
yeah,
maybe. I'm gonna resent you.
We might just resent that you was... anyway, so you know, you could just take it.
Yeah, that was my resentment sound.
All right, so next week we're covering season 1, episode 5 of Boy Meets World, which has a title that I'm going to find out for you right now, because I did not think.
It is spelling bee?
Yes.
Grammar bee?
Killer bee, maybe. Right?
Killer bee. Killer bee Anthony? I don't think that's the name of the episode. It's not Killer Bee Anthony. It is Killer Bees. Killer bees with an S.
Right. We'll be talking about that next week, so do your homework, John Adams High students, and
don't be a Corey and Sean. Don't be a Mr. Sullivan.
He's even
for
worse.
Sure. Just take that right off the list. That's please. You know what? Yes, you can be a if it means that you won't be a Mr. Sullivan.
Right. That's just what we're all trying to avoid here.
Yeah.
And on that note,
exactly.
Let's sing ourselves off with our favorite theme song.
When this body twirls,
walking
down this road that we call life, is what we're doing. It's just you know our friends who will always stand by me. When this girl's watch twirls.
Bye, everyone. See you next time.
Bye.